You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Scary.
I was spooked.
You were spooked?
I was very spooked.
That's the thing. We've been playing a lot of spooky games lately. Actually, just one.
Well, I mean, the apocalypse is a little scary.
It is true. Yeah, true. You know, set on Mars and hellish and fiery. That's usually bad.
If hellscape demons do not terrify you, mm-hmm. I don't know who the fuck you are.
Well, you know what? I think I know what will terrify people. Outlast.
Yeah.
Now for, yeah, you know, people are going to say, Outlast, that came out like several years ago. It's like, well, we played it. It's the first time we finally played it. We got it during the October spooky sale on the various consoles. And he thought, you know what? Since the new game is eventually going to come out next year, Outlast 2, I thought it'd be best to review the first game in the Outlast franchise. And I have to say, I think this is probably one of the spookiest games I've played in probably a long time, quite honestly. I mean, what about you, John?
Slender Man is terrifying, for the same reason.
No, it's not.
I think it's scary. And Gone Home freaked me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know Gone Home's not scary, mm-hmm. we talked about this before, but damn was I unsettled that whole time I was playing the game.
But I guess in the case of Outlast, I think it ratchets up the scares more than, say, something like Gone Home.
It's too much.
Or Slender.
It's too much for me.
Oh, no, I'm all about it, man. I'm all about it. For people that don't know, Outlast is a first-person survival horror game. It's developed by recently a new a developer and publisher, Red Barrels, and really an indie developer. And the game revolves around a freelance investigative journalist, Miles Upshur, who, in his infinite wisdom, decides to investigate a remote psychiatric hospital situated deep in the mountains of Lake County, Colorado. And as we obviously know, the spookies start to unfold as Miles goes into said asylum and uncovers a deeper and strange mystery surrounding this, possibly a supernatural force, a sci-fi supernatural force. We don't know. There's crazy people in there. They're attacking us. It's everything that I kind of want in a modern first-person kind of horror game, at least for me.
Yeah, I didn't know much about the game before getting into it.
Good.
I remember seeing the Resident Evil stuff, and mm-hmm. that's been a recent... That, I think, is going to get this idea. Oh, it's a mainstream conscience.
Yeah, I mean, but I know Seven games, is clearly ripping off Outlast.
Yeah. But this experience, like I said, was a lot for me. Every time I could play it, I had to come straight from work. By the time I get home from work, it was dark outside.
Mm-hmm.
No one is in my apartment. And I'm just, like, playing the game, and every time I hear a sound outside, I'm just like, what's it? And it's like, I know what scares are coming in the game half the time. I've watched enough horror films, and I don't know, I'm just always thinking, like, I tell myself when a scare is going to come. Mm-hmm. That way, if it comes, I feel less scared, but it still got me.
Yeah.
Every single time. But in that sense, it's also, like, frustrating. I think I really like scary things.
Yeah.
The same way I don't like hot foods. Why am I paying to be discomforted?
You don't like hot food?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, like, why?
Do you like soup? You don't like things that are cooked?
No.
Eating them raw?
Like, spicy.
Oh, okay. Hot. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, like jalapenos. I don't like jalapenos.
Wow, I'm all about jalapenos.
Oh, it ruins the flavor of the food.
No, it makes it takes my mouth is watering. I actually had jalapenos today. I had jalapenos and chicken.
Okay, before we went to go see Fantastic Beasts. This is so off topic. Before I went to see Fantastic Beasts, my girlfriend picked up P. Terry's before I picked her up, and they accidentally put jalapenos in my burger. The burger went from a 10 out of 10, like all P. Terry's burgers are. Mm. Go to P. Terry's if you've never been.
The Whataburger guy.
P. Terry's is cheaper, though.
Fair enough.
Okay. to a 3 out of 10 with the jalapenos.
Yeah. I'm all about it. Well, here's the thing. I mean, Outlast, I mean, we'll probably just go into it. The thing that I think makes it so spooky is the darkness in the game and how you're able to move around it using, I think, probably something that I normally would hate in movies, but it works so well here, which is a video camera. And how that video camera functions is that you have to use night vision to kind of make your way throughout this abandoned, well, it's not abandoned facility, but this facility that's filled with just crazy people, you know, and how it's limited. You have to limit your use of this video camera, particularly when you're going through some of the darkest segments of the game, like when you're in a sewer section or when all these lights are out, and where you have, like, depending on especially the difficulty you play on, where you can only pick up a certain level of batteries into use of your camera. And that thing, if you're not sparing with it, if you're not using the light sparingly, then you could be finding yourself just lost in the darkness. Which, again, that in itself, and the sounds that you hear in the dark, horrifying.
I think there's a moment in the game where you lose your camera for a little bit.
Yep.
And I, like, saw the darkness. I tried to walk for a little bit, heard a noise, I was like, I'm going to turn around.
Gotta go find that camera.
I gotta go get the camera. And I didn't know I had to go get the camera. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I need to go try and find the camera. Thankfully, when I turned around, it said, get your camera.
Yeah. Like, okay. Oh, thank God. Thank you, Gabe. Thank you for letting me know. Little pig. Now, the other thing I liked about this game, which has been carried on to other games similar to this, especially in Alien Isolation, and I think also, like, Amnesia also started this as well, but the idea of the unkillable enemy. You can't kill enemies in this game. This is not a combat game. You are constantly hiding and running away from everything. And you have to make use of lockers. You have to hide under beds. You have to sometimes run. And some of just the most creepiest, just really just anytime, like, I know that one of these unkillable enemies are in a room with me, it just, I instantly just feel, oh God, just like so incredibly apprehensive. And like when Chris Walker, who is one of the enemies in the game, the little pig guy, who looks like he, you know, his nose has been ripped off and he has all gums and teeth, and he's like, ah, 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 love it. And as soon as I hear those chains, it's just like, shit, I don't know where he is, I have like half a battery left, and I'm looking around, and again, the game just ratchets up the tension, where you kind of go to some, you know, at first maybe something that's very quiet, and maybe you're kind of exploring a certain facility, but as soon as you walk into a new area, and you're so unfamiliar with it, and then you hear those sounds, it just, I never felt, the game, what it does best is that I never felt safe, mm-hmm. which I think is what a horror game should do.
I love that from a sense of, this is a good horror game. Mm-hmm. But maybe because I knew we were going to talk about it, I felt a little rushed.
Yeah.
And rushed in this game do not mix.
Mm-hmm.
Because then sometimes it would teeter into frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, there aren't many games I've played where my power is taken away.
Yeah.
So I think it took me a while to get used to it. And I did kind of get frustrated early on. Like if I messed up and I was like, I can't do anything. Or sometimes yeah. I'd get stuck in a corner and I'd try to jump over something I thought I could jump over.
Mal's not good at jumping.
Yeah, he's not. And so I would just get stuck and I would literally just be like, well, I'm fucking dead, and just mm-hmm. kind of stop moving and just wait till they killed me. So moments like that are kind of annoying mm-hmm. and aggravating.
Mm-hmm.
And I even resorted to sometimes just like, well, I'm just going to run past them and just keep running and not stop because yeah. I'm always faster than them. And there were those moments where it felt like, well, I'm not actually playing the game like it's supposed to be played. Mm-hmm. And so it got frustrated there. But once I slowed down, really let myself get into it, everything kind of comes together. I think it works fairly well. The running parts are always terrifying.
Yep.
Because I love the fact that it lets you look back.
Yeah, that's, like, that's
that
cool.
It includes that nice little feature. Mm-hmm. Because you look back and then you come back forward, you're kind of disoriented, and yeah. you kind of,
as you would be in real
yeah,
life.
Yeah, and you swerve a little bit, and I was like, fuck. And it's like, that is so cool, because my curiosity and tension makes me have to look back. The brilliant thing about this game that I didn't realize until maybe the second to last, like, environment
mm-hmm.
was that the reason it was working so well is because it knew I was going to be curious.
Yeah.
And it knew that I was going to want to look in every corner. And so it hides things.
That's pride fucking with you.
Like, I didn't have to go downstairs yet or something. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
Well, what's down here? What if there's something I need?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd go down there. And I was also always sparingly with the light, which works brilliantly in the sense of me being terrified, because I would, like, turn it off and on.
Yeah.
So I would turn it on, really quick, just doo-doo, mm-hmm. and then like go off to the side. It was like, okay, there's nothing right there. Doo-doo. And like keep doing that mm-hmm. so I could conserve my battery. And I remember one time I did that. And just, like, there's a dude, like, just not going to hurt me, but just leaning against the wall, just kind of looking at me.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude. And it's like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of moments when, yeah, you there's a lot of just, like, kind of stagnant NPCs where they stay in the similar place. But when you're first introduced to them, you don't even know how they're going to react to you. Yeah. Sometimes they'll be peaceful. Other times they might jump out. I mean, there's a lot of jump scares in that game, yeah. which I think it...
Jump scares are just annoying in general.
Maybe to a certain extent, like in movies, certainly, and it's kind of cheap. But in here, I think it works better in terms of like gameplay and how you because it's you reacting to a certain extent. Where in the movies, it's like I can't do anything.
Yeah,
you know. But in games, like I can turn and run if I want to, and then I'd be like, oh wait, he's not coming after me. But again, that's just a fun little thing. It's meant to make you afraid. I think it succeeds on that. Probably one of the things that I do have a problem with the game. In that I think it's a little too long, and where I think sometimes the best horror experiences should be relatively short.
I think
unless there's a really cool gameplay hook.
It's about 5 hours, I think.
Yeah, and I could have done maybe with it being 4 hours. I don't particularly feel like a horror game needs to do something. Again, we paid for this very cheap, I think, at the time. Yeah. I don't think it's even like a $60 game to begin with.
No, it's about 20.
Yeah, 20, which I think is well worth it for that price. And I like that because I found myself, I was repeating the same actions over and over again, like the...
There's not a lot of variety.
Variety, yeah, exactly. The environments, environments.
I got really frustrated during a part where you have to find 3 fuses to get a key to unlock a door.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get the 3 fuses, the key falls, so you have to go back downstairs
fuck you.
To get the key. And when the key falls, I literally was just like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple times where you come up to a thing that you have to do, but it's like, no, wait, get 2 things to do this one thing.
Yeah.
And it does that too much, and it relies on the same mechanic that, I don't know, you're right, after about the 5th hour, which I actually kind of like the 5th hour a little. Cause
the ending of this game, I think, is really cool. The
storyline-wise, I think it's dumb.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. Like,
but gameplay-wise, it frees you up a little bit.
Yeah.
It eases up the scares and... Or not eases up the scares necessarily, but like gives you a little more light.
It presents, it introduces a kind of cool new type of enemy. And it introduces a new environment, which I think was welcome. Like had it just continued with the kind of the same haunted house type thing, mm-hmm. then I felt like I would have been a little like, okay, like come on, can we do something? You need to surprise me. Where I thought that it had a nice surprise in the last portion of the game. Like in terms of maybe the storytelling, certainly I think probably the absolute weakest part of the game is its main story, where most of this game is, although it has some sense of a narrative where you're kind of interacting with these different NPC characters, particularly I think the priest, Father Martin, and things like that. Most of the narrative is delivered through kind of collectibles and Miles' own notes, which actually I actually took the I read all of them because I like that stuff.
I don't like codexes, but I love audio logs or little sort of notes that you trigger mm-hmm. somehow, and it's more like an in-look into the character's thoughts.
Exactly, yeah. And where, like, after like particular gameplay segment, which is maybe very terrifying, you get to hear what Miles is actually thinking. Because he's a journalist, he's writing it all
down. I love the fact that, and I don't think it does a great way of introducing this necessarily, mm-hmm. but in order to unlock some of those notes, your camera has to be up.
Yes,
you have to be recording it.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings up a thing I'd been thinking about, and it reminded me a lot of one of my qualms with the Arkham games, is that it kind of pushes you to view the game in a less than stellar reticle, like a less than stellar window. So, Arkham really kind of pushes you to have your detective mode on quite a lot.
Yeah.
And so it takes away from the visuals, like the stellar visuals of the Arkham games.
The light and the dark and things like that.
Yeah, and so this game kind of asks you to always... There's no reason you shouldn't always have your camera up to your face.
But it limits you.
How?
In terms of, I think, the night vision stuff.
No. When your night vision is off. The battery doesn't run if you're...
No, you're right. Yeah.
So it just... It kind of asks you to do that, in a sense. But it takes away from the visuals in that cuts off your line of sight just a smidge and yeah. distorts it a little bit. And especially near the end of the game, which I think is a great element when your camera cracks. Yeah. I love that.
See, that's what I liked about it, where it kind of had the appearance of a found footage movie. And normally I don't like that, but I think because I'm in control of it, I appreciate it a lot more. I thought it was really cool. And it kind of makes sense narratively because Miles is an investigative journalist. He's recording all this. You would be recording. Although that fucking memory card or whatever the hell that SD card he's using, that thing is long. You know, it's a lot of memory for that.
Well,
thing.
He's shooting in 480p.
Yeah,
so a lot of space.
Yes, I guess that would be true. But yeah, I just kind of go on the final thoughts. Like I said, I do think this is probably one of the best horror video games, at least on consoles right now, and certainly on PC, in terms of like a first-person like horror video game. It's similar to Alien Isolation. I'll even say I think this is probably better than Alien Isolation because it's far more shorter. It's far more shorter than Alien Isolation, even though I felt this was maybe a little smidge too long. The other thing I didn't kind of bring up is that I actually like a lot of the more unique monster NPCs or characters. Like, I mean, I mentioned Chris Walker, who's kind of this silent brute that follows you around. He kind of like spouts out some dialogue. But after through kind of like pickups that you get or collectibles, you actually learn more about him and why he's choosing to do certain things. Why he's performing all these actions around the facility, I think, is really unique. And I think probably my favorite enemy in the entire game is a guy named Dr. Traeger, who in his introduction I think is amazing. And how it makes you realize that how this whatever's happening at this facility is affecting people who may have not been originally insane, and how they're kind of then dealing with their own insanity in a really kind of unique, kind of fun way, or fun in his own warped way. But yeah, I think for now, I'd probably give it 8 out of 10 severed fingers.
I think the game is good, but it is also very flawed. It is it feels like the first steps towards something great.
Yeah.
And if that's what it is, then I can respect it on that sense. That it may not necessarily be the game to perfect this kind of thing, but it's going to be what a Resident Evil sees and goes, this is possible, we can do this, let's try this, let's put some money behind it, let's put some writers behind it, because that's I think was my biggest qualm, is that the story's not necessarily engaging. I don't think anyone is. I do think the Scissors Man Dr. Dude. Traeger. I think he's interesting. I think he was the most terrifying of every person I met, too.
Hey, because buddy.
He had a little... Yeah, his voice was interesting. He had a lot more character
to him.
Very
nonchalant, yeah.
And his scissors are terrifying.
Yeah.
And you can see his ass the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all about... You see... That's the thing about this game. You see a lot of ass. You see a lot of dick. Yeah. This is the biggest, like, dick ratio, I think, in a video game ever. Oh, the twins, by the way. Oh, they are terrifying. The penis twins, as I call them.
Penis twins. Oh, yeah. And they just sit there and have a conversation about you. Like,
yeah, they're wanting to gut you. It's like, all right.
But, yeah, it's... The story elements, I think, faltered too often. Like, Father Martin, what does he end up really doing?
Well, we know what happens
to him. I know, but I know what happens to him, but it doesn't seem like he actually accomplished anything.
He's there to direct you. He's basically the guide.
Yeah, so it's just...
A shitty guy.
It just seems like sometimes they just put characters there because to put someone there. I don't really understand what was going on near the end. I remember being freaked out, but I didn't really know why things were happening. And which, that's a failure in a sense. But from a gameplay, if you just want to get spooked about a game, then that's what this is going to do. And it'll be fun to like play with a friend and kind of like get scared together and just kind of walk through it together. But I never will feel the need to play this again. So I give it 6 out of 10 spooks.
Now, you may feel that about the main game, but I'll say Whistleblower, I think, improves upon everything that I think you originally had a problem with the main game.
But I think I might have to check that out. Huh?
I think you should.
what I'm here for. Make you